for good singing. I like that song. It says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. That's Jesus' righteousness. That's what he did on the cross. That's the righteousness of God. That's the way that God, has made his salvation for us. That's the only righteousness that you can have when he come. Faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That means religion. That means money. That means good work. That means any other way other than Jesus is a sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. That's why we like hymns here, because it's so rich. Amen. So rich. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, if you want to open your Bible with me, please. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 43 to 48. Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verses 43 up to 48. It's a story about the woman. The woman who had an issue with blood. She was bleeding for years. Bleeding for years. She has health issue for years and years and years until she found Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. Let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come and read the Bible and encourage everyone. And Lord, as I look at the crowd, I can see different people, Lord, and some visitor. Some have been here, some are members. Lord, I don't know who are the ones that are saved, Lord. You know who's your children. We pray, Lord, that you'd please help me as a preacher to explain the Bible and say what you want me to say, Lord. Give me the words to say, and if there's some words that I like to say that is not your will, just take that out, Lord. And I pray that you'd please help me to preach your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We will read verse 43 to 48. Read with me, please. Ready? Begin. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. You may be seated. The title of our message this morning is, Who Touched Me? That was Jesus' words. Peter asked him, Lord, there are lots of people here. We're crowded here. And you say, who touched me? Well, of course, everybody, you know, we touch each other. And why do you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, no, something is different here. Somebody has touched me on a different kind of touch. Because a power, a virtue, in other translation they call power, they put it power, a healing power. There's virtue that came out of me. Something came out of me with that touch. So that's a story about this woman. Our story this morning is about a story inside a story. If you would look in verse 41 in your Bible. Actually, the story here is not about the woman. It was about Jairus' daughter. Jairus, he was a ruler. He was a leader. A ruler of the synagogue, and he heard about Jesus. And so he came to Jesus, And he said, Jesus, my daughter is sick. She is 12 years old and she is sick. And I want you to come and pray for her and heal her. How many of you can relate to that? When your children are sick or not being, you know, not well, but you would rather be sick than them, right? That you would do everything that you would just to get them well. You know, that's a father's heart. You see there, it's a father's heart. That he would do everything. Remember, he's a ruler. And this Jesus is a new preacher. And not very many ruler likes him. But he stood up and he said, Jesus, I want you to come to my place and heal my daughter. And while Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, there comes a story, a beautiful story about this woman. While Jesus was on his way and a lot of people were waiting for him, and that the Bible says verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. That's what happened there. There were people. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' daughter, and there were people that are waiting for Jesus, basically crowded. They were crowded. And there's a woman there waiting to be healed and waiting to touch Jesus so that she can be healed. A story inside a story. And you can see in verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. So you can see after the story of this woman, you can see they go back to the story of Jairus' daughter. A story inside a story. You know, sometimes what makes a special a story is not just the story itself, but the story inside the story. Right? Aren't you glad that when God saved us, he didn't just took us home right after our salvation. He let us live here, stay here, and have another story before he would bring us home. Sometimes it's not just the beginning and the end of the story, but the story along the way. Not just the point A and point B, but what happens between point A to point B? God has given us stories after stories between our salvation and until we get home to heaven. That's the story. Along the way to Jairus' house, we could find Jesus being crowded with people, that he's even having a hard time to go through the crowd. Then suddenly, he felt something came out of him. A virtue, a healing power. Someone has touched him. Yes, everybody is touching him, but yet someone has touched him differently. A different kind of touch. Now let's see what kind of touch those are. I'd like you to look in verse number 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. That means she spent all her money upon physicians. That's the doctors, medicines, and all that this world could offer. But at the end, she wasn't healed. I would like to say that's a touch of a hope. Touch of hope. She came to Jesus with a hope. She has tried everything that the world could offer. They said, you go in this hospital here. She went in there and spent all her money and never healed. And then one day she heard about this preacher. They said, you know what? There's a preacher. He's from Nazareth and his name is Jesus. And he's coming this way. He's coming this way. We have heard that he has healed the lame. He has healed the blind. The dead was raised. And he's coming here. So she has this hope that Jesus is coming. She has this hope that for 12 years, the Bible says, she had this bleeding for 12 years. And then one day, this preacher is coming to my town. And actually, if you would go in Mark, there's a reference in the story in this one. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Instead of getting better, she got worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press, that's the people, behind the people and touched his garment. That's Jesus' garment. For she said, listen to what she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's what she said. I was not in Book of Luke, but it was in Book of Mark. Her words, she said, if I can only touch his garment, I'll be whole. I'll be clean. I'll be healed. If I can just touch his garment. So she has this hope that if she can only get to Jesus and touch his garment, she will be healed. First of all, God is not against physician. Okay? He is not teaching here that, you know, you should not go to physician or medicine. For he at one point suggested that we should go to a doctor if we are sick. That's for sure. Praise God, we get some good doctors in our community. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That means if you're sick, you go. You need a physician. So he was not teaching here that, you know, it's no use of going to a physician, a doctor. No, that's not what he meant here. But what he's trying to say is that the world could offer you things and could say this would work, this is what you should do, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's God. Amen? Your money can give you medicine. Your money can buy you things. Your money can let you stay in the hospital, but it never could give you health. It never could give you healing. The poor die, and so are the billionaires. You know that? Like this lady, the Bible says she spent all her living, but nothing better, rather grew worse. You know, anybody heard about Steve Jobs? You have my iPhone? I have an iPhone. Where's my iPhone, by the way? Oh, here, my iPhone. Steve Jobs is a co-founder of smartphone, iPhone. And he died 2011. Listen to his words at his deathbed. He said, I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is an epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. In the end, wealth is only a fact of life that I am accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of impending death. In the darkness, I look at the green lights from the life supporting machines and hear the humming mechanical sounds. I can feel the breath of God of death drawing closer. Remember, he's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in God. I mean, he doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. Now I know when we have accumulated sufficient wealth to last our lifetime, we should pursue other matters that are unrelated to wealth. Should be something that is important, perhaps relationships, perhaps art, perhaps a dream from younger days. Non-stop pursuing of wealth will only turn a person into a twisted being, just like me. That's what he said. Non-stop pursuing of wealth will only turn a person into a twisted being, just like me. God gave us the senses to let us feel the love in everyone's heart, not the illusions brought about by wealth. The wealth I have won in my life, I cannot bring with me. What can I bring is only the memories precipitated by love. That's the true riches which follow you, accompany you, giving you strength and light to go on. He said, you can employ someone to drive the car for you and make money for you, but you cannot have someone to bear the sickness for you. Material things lost can be found, but there is one thing that can never be found when it is lost: life. When a person goes into operating room, he will realize that there is one book that he has yet to finish reading. Book of Healthy Life. I thought he was going to say Bible. He said Book of Healthy Life. Whichever stage in life we are right now, with time, we will face the day when the curtains come down. Treasure love for your family, love for your spouse, for your friend. Treat yourself well, cherish others. That's a word from one of the billionaires of the world who died. Well, just like that person, this woman has spent all her living going after what the world has to offer, but never better. What are you hoping today? Maybe you have come here somehow, you're hoping God will meet with you, right? Maybe you're like that woman who suffered for 12 years, or maybe less than that, or maybe more than that. You've been suffering and suffering and suffering with health issue, or maybe with whatever issue you have in your life, and you have tried everything, tried this and tried that, and nothing works. And you have come today just like that woman, and you said, if I can just have a touch with Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Maybe that's you today. You have that hope that somehow I'm going to come to church, I'll come to Prince Albert Baptist Church, and somehow I can meet God, and I meet with him, and he met with me, and I can be whole. Is that your hope? That was her hope, and she got it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, you know what Jesus said? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that amazing? Come. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. My friend, what are you hoping? Are you hoping for a touch with the Master? I'll tell you what, you're in the right place today. Just like that woman. It was a touch of hope. It was not just a touch of hope. Secondly, I believe it was a touch of heart. It was a touch that is not just a physical touch. It was not just a touch with a hand or with a finger, but it was a touch with heart. It was a touch, not just with a touch of hand, but a touch with heart. Not just with a touch of a finger, but a touch with faith. Look in verse 34. Well, actually in 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. go in peace. So what's the difference between this woman's touch was, her touch was with a touch of faith. You remember, Jesus said at first, he said, "Who touched me?" And then Peter said, "Well, Jesus, you know, we're crowded here, so why would you say, who touched you? Of course, everybody's touching you. Why would you say, who touched you?" Jesus said, no, somebody has touched me with a different kind of a touch. It was a touch with faith. And then he looked around, he said, "I want to meet her. I want to see her. Where is she?" And then she was afraid. The Bible says she was trembling. She was so scared. And when she knows that she can't hide, so she said, "It's me, Lord. I'm sorry, it's me. It's me. I needed a touch with you." So, think about this. A lot of people touching Jesus, there's only one woman that was real with her touch. Probably some people would like to see Jesus and touch him, but they were not really serious. Right? Maybe they were there because, you know, Jesus was famous, so I want to see Jesus. Kind of curious of who he is. Maybe they were there in the crowd, maybe they were the disciples, and they were saying, "You know what, I'm here because, you know, I'm a disciple, I have to be here." Right? And they were touching Jesus, but was never something different. Maybe some of them were there because of their friends. "Well, I am here because my friends brought me here, so I want to, you know, I'm here." Right? But this woman was there because she was real. She was there because she said, "If I can just touch Jesus, I can be whole." Think about this. How many people we have here today in attendance? Praise the Lord, we have some visitors today. Newcomers, new Christian. That's always exciting when we have that. Right? We have lots of people today. But I wonder if Jesus would come right now and we would say, "Well, Jesus, who among here is the real one that is here because of you? Who among these people are here because they really love to be here? It's nothing any other reason, it's because of you, Jesus. Who among these people?" Sometimes we pray, right? We pray, but do we really pray with faith? Do we really do that because we really wanted to talk to Jesus? Or we just do that because, you know, that's in the Bible, you gotta pray before you eat or you gotta pray before you go to bed, right? But you don't really mean to talk to God. How many people would come to church because they really mean it? They really want to have connection with God. They really want to have a touch from God. They really want to meet God. How many? How many times we do ministry? Say we come, we do, and serve in the ministry. But how many times do we come with our hearts right with God? I would be surprised if Jesus would say, "You know what? Yeah, I know a lot of people here, but somebody is here because they want to meet with me." I wonder if you were one of those person that Jesus said, "Yeah, he is here because he wants to meet with me today." Yep, that man is here because he wants to hear the word of God. Or he would say, "You know what, that man or that woman is just here because of tradition. That woman is just here because he's used to coming to church." Right? Remember those disciples? 12 disciples? One of them is Judas. Right? Do you know that you can be with Jesus but not in Jesus? You know that you can be with Christ but not in Christ? What does that mean? That means you are with him, you walk with him, you talk with him, you eat with him, you ministered with him, but not really in him. You know that? Remember Judas? He was with Jesus. He was voted as the apostles, actually. He was chosen to be apostles. He was with Jesus, and he was ministering with Jesus. And he was with Jesus every day when Jesus was here, but he was never in Jesus. You know, you can be here this morning, but not really in Christ. It is possible. It is possible. Jesus, who touched me? Who touched me? Because not everybody who touched him with a heart touches him. Not everybody who touched him with a hand touches him with a heart. But this woman, it was not just merely a touch of a hand. It was a touch of a heart. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 15:8? This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. That means there are some people who comes to Jesus and honor him with their lips, but not with their heart. How many times we come to Christ just because we have to? Not that we really come with faith, but because of routine or tradition or curiosity. My friend, you have to be in Christ, not just with Christ, to be in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. That means try yourselves. See if you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. You know what reprobate means? That means denied. That means condemned. So what Jesus was saying was, examine yourselves if you're in the faith. Examine if you're real. Examine if your touch with Christ is real. If it is a touch with the heart. Are you here this morning with all your heart, coming to Christ with all your faith? Do you serve him with all your heart, with all sincerity, or just kind of a going along the flow? How many people do we have here today? But I wonder if Jesus comes right now and say, who among us here is here with all your heart? I'm sure I'm serious with him. I'm sure I love him. I'm sure I'm here because I love Jesus. And lastly, my friend, when it was not just a touch of hope or a touch of heart, but most importantly, it was a touch of healing. It was a healing touch. Verse 46, Luke chapter 8, verse 46. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Jesus, that's him, she declared unto Jesus before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed. And how she was healed immediately. This woman was healed immediately. I would like to look at in verse 46, Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue. That virtue means power. There's a virtue that gone out of me. And the Bible says, she came trembling and falling down before him. That means she worshiped Jesus. She was healed physically. When she touched Jesus with her faith, then she was healed spiritually when Jesus talked to her and let her know who he was. It was not just a physical healing that she received that day, but most importantly, a spiritual healing when Jesus talked to her. You would say, well, how do you know that she got saved? Well, two things. First of all, she calls Jesus with her faith. Jesus said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. She came with Jesus with faith. And Jesus said, your faith. Jesus acknowledges her faith. and acknowledges that her faith is the one that made her whole. The Bible says in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me," Jesus said, "shall come to me, and I will, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." That means everyone who comes to Christ by faith, Jesus never say no. Secondly, Jesus said, "Go in peace." Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." You can never have peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's Jesus. Jesus said, "Go in peace. Go in peace." I mean, you can never have peace without Jesus. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Well, you might say, well, what is that touch? That touch is so simple, right? It's just a simple touch. What a simple touch can do? How could a simple touch could make a huge change, a huge difference in her life? It's just a simple touch. And I tell you, my friend, yet it's a simple touch, but it is the touch that makes all the difference. Have you seen a baby crying? A baby crying? And people would do everything just to make him stop crying, right? They would pass him from person to person, and he would still crying, be crying, right? And then they would bring him to his mother, right? Bring him to his mother, and suddenly he stopped crying. Just by simple touch from a mother. You should see my boys when they go to bed. They won't go to bed except with my wife. And there are three of them. So one in this one, one in this one, and one in her foot. You know, sometimes a foot would work, you know. Anything, just but a touch with a mother. That's all they need, a touch, and they would go to bed. You can do everything. I would try to do everything, but I don't do a good job. But her, you know, something with my, you know, my wife, a mother's touch. Just a touch. Let me explain a little bit with how powerful a touch could be. You know, so imagine there's a huge spaceship, and in that spaceship there's a rocket, and that spaceship is going to be sent to outer space. And in that rocket, there's a wire that connects to the control room. And in that wire, it goes to a little button. And that button probably could be secured or with some kind of safety glass so that nobody would push it. But you know what needs for that rocket to go up to the sky is a simple touch from that button. When they say, all cleared, and they would touch that button, and that rocket would fly all the way to the sky. All that energy that was stored in that rocket would be released, and that big thing will fly in the sky with that simple touch. You know, that's what exactly happened to this woman. It was not the touch, but it was the power that is in Christ. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 28, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." There in that person, in that Jesus, was all the power in the world. And what she only needs to do is to touch him. And that power was released to her, and she was healed that day. It was not the touch, but it was the person that she put her faith into. How many stories do we have of a person who, at one point, that they were so tired of their sin, and they know it's wrong, they know it's wrong, and they, at that time, they said, "I'm tired of this. I don't want this anymore." And that day, they came to Christ, they knelt on their bed, and they cried to God and say, "Jesus, forgive me. Well, you would say, well, what does a kneeling do? What does a little prayer do? What can that prayer do? But it worked. Because it's not what they do, but it's the person. Struggling for years and years about sin in your life. And you can't get rid of this sin. You have tried everything in your power, and it's still there. Why not come to Him? And a good thing with Christ, you can touch Him as much as you want. You can touch Him every day. You can say, Lord, I need your help. I need you. Just like that woman. Let's bow our head and pray.